Persia, the New Dawn, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 20.
Beloved Bhagwan, is the concept of soulmates more useful than marriage?
प्रज्ञान वन समूह सिग्निफिकेंट थिंग इन मेंस लाइफ हैज बीन हिज लव अफेयर. Birth is not in your hands. Death is not in your hands. And these are the only three great things in life: birth, love, and death. Only love is in your hands. Only love gives you freedom and dignity of being a human being. Otherwise, birth and death are just like any other animal or any tree. Love should be kept as pure and unpolluted as possible. You are asking, is the concept of soulmate more useful than marriage? Concepts don't matter. What matters is your understanding. You can change the word marriage by the word soulmate, but you are the same. You will make the same hell out of soulmate as you have been making out of marriage. Nothing has changed, only the word, the label. Don't believe in labels too much. Why marriage has failed? In the first place, we raised it to unnatural standards. We tried to make it something permanent, something sacred, without knowing even ABC of sacredness, without knowing anything about the eternal. Our intentions were good, but our understanding was very small, almost negligible. to instill the marriage between something of a heaven has become a hell. Instead of becoming sacred, it has fallen even below profanity. And this has been the man's stupidity, very ancient one. Whenever he gets in difficulty, he changes the word. Change the word marriage and soul marriage. But don't change yourself. And you are the problem, not the word. Any word will do. A rose is a rose is a rose. You can call it by any name. You are asking to change the concept. You are not asking to change yourself. The marriage has failed because you could not rise to the standard that you were expecting of marriage, of the concept of marriage. You were brutal, you were barbarian, you were full of jealousy, you were full of lust. You had never known really what love is. In the name of love, you tried everything which is just the opposite of love, possessiveness, domination, power. Marriage became a battlefield where two persons are fighting for supremacy. Of course, the man has his own way, rough and more primitive. The woman has her own way, feminine, softer, a little more civilized. A more subdued. But the situation is the same. Now the psychologists are talking about marriage as an intimate enmity. And that's what it has proved to be. Two enemies are living together, pretending to be in love, expecting the other to give love, and the same is being expected by the other. Nobody is ready to give. Nobody has it. How can you give love if you don't have it? And when you feel that the love is not coming towards you, and both feel the same, a great frustration and an idea, a suspicion that perhaps the other has deceived you. Because before the marriage, both were using beautiful words, sweet nothing, both were bringing their best to attract the other, to catch hold of the other. And once they are married and the law has entered in and the society has granted you to live it together, soon the honeymoon is over. Even before coming back from honeymoon, it is over. All is finished. Because you have come to know each other in their total wholeness, which is ugly. The facade, the mask that they were wearing before the marriage has slipped. You cannot hold it 24 hours. When you live with someone, you have to come down from your hypocrisies and be whatever you are. And you know that you are not the person you pretend to be. The same is true about the other. And then it becomes a struggle to possess the woman, to possess the man. The only significant symptom of love is it never possesses. On the contrary, it gives freedom. It is happy in the happiness of the other. It does not beg. It is not a beggar. It is an emperor. It gives, and it gives unconditionally. But in the actual life, what we have been doing for centuries is asking the other to give. And the other is also asking to give. And both are beggars. Their bowels are empty. They don't have anything to give. It becomes a struggle, a warfare. You can change the concept from marriage to soulmate, but what about you? What about the people who will become soulmates? If they are the same people who were between a couple in a marriage, nothing will change. My suggestion is neither marriage is needed nor soulmates are needed. Just friendliness is enough. You don't know anything about soul. How can you become a soul man? If you can become just friendly with each other, that is more than can be expected from the present man. If you can be understanding of each other's frailties, weaknesses, that is more than to be expected. If you can drop the old superstition that once a woman loves you, she has to love you forever, or the man, love is very fragile. It is just like a flower, beautiful but very delicate. In the morning it blossoms, by the evening it is gone. Its petals are scattered. That was a beauty in the morning. By the evening it has become a grave. Life is a changing, continuous changing phenomenon. When I say a great understanding is needed, the old idea of permanent relationship under any concept has to be dropped. You have to live moment to moment. You have to live each moment as if it is the last moment. So don't waste it in quarreling, in nagging, in fighting. Perhaps you will not find the next moment even for an apology. One of the mystics, Sarmad, used to tell to his disciples every night that we are going to sleep for the last time. Please forgive me. As a master, I may have been hard to you. I had to be, because I loved you and I wanted a transformation to happen. And I don't know whether in the morning I will wake up again. So I am asking for your apology. Each night he will go to bed as if it is the last night. And one day it is going to be true. One night will be the last night. And you will never wake up. And each morning he will wake up as if it is a new beginning. Otherwise he had accepted death in the last night. Now this is a rebirth. He looks tremendously grateful towards existence. One day more to live, one day more the sun, the wind, the tree, the bird, one day more of friends, one day more of love, but not more than that. The very idea of having a permanent, lifelong relationship helps you to postpone that which is essential and go on doing things which are absolutely non-essential, not only non-essential but idiotic. People are fighting on such a small thing that they themselves in their sinner moment laugh about. I have heard about a couple who was getting married in the government registrar's office. The man signed and the woman had signed before him, and as she saw the man's signature, she immediately told the registrar that, "I want a divorce." The registrar said, "What has happened? You are getting married? You are just signed the marriage paper?" He said, "Yes, I have signed, but things have gone sore already. Just look at the paper. I have signed in a small letter and he has signed in such big letters to show me that who he is. This is the beginning of trouble. I don't want to get into it." The bigger letters already declare the supremacy, superiority of the man. You can change words. I would like to change your consciousness. The idea of permanent relationship was wrong, but it has been imposed on you by poets, by priests, by everybody. And I am not saying that two persons cannot live in deep friendship for their whole life. They can, but it should not be a conditioning, but just a flowering of friendship. Open. Any day one partner can say, "I am grateful for all the beautiful moments you have given to me, but now our paths separate. In sadness, but I will remember you always. But I don't want to live with you to create a hell." Then all that was beautiful will be destroyed. Even the memory of it will be destroyed. Just a friendliness is enough. My vision of a new society is that of small communes, not of big cities. A commune not more than consisting of 5,000 people. so that they can know each other very easily. And the commune should take the whole responsibility for the children. And nobody should be allowed to have children unless the commune needs them. That decision will be of the commune. And now all scientific measures are available. And the society can decide what she needs. Engineer, doctor, scientist, poet, mystic. Now it is scientifically possible to choose what kind of a child you are going to give birth. Just you have to drop your old superstition that the child has to be yours. Just as you have blood banks, you should have semen banks in every hospital. And scientists are capable now to figure out about every living semen they can read it what it is going to be. Up to now we have lived a very accidental life. And perhaps the world is so much full of stupid and retarded people because of that. When two persons make love, the man releases almost in one love making a million living cells, and a great politics starts because they all run fast to reach to the mother's egg. Only one will be able to enter. The mother's egg is made in such a way that it remains open till a living male cell has entered into it. The moment the cell enters, it closes. It rarely happens that two cells reach simultaneously. That's why twins are born, or sometimes three, or sometimes four. But these are exceptions. And that small passage that you don't count is a long journey for the small semen. According to its size, it is almost 2 miles long. And a great struggle, a million people trying to reach to become the president. And my understanding is that the wiser ones will stand by the side and let the idiots go ahead. Rabindranath was the 13th child of their wedding. If there has been a birth control, Rabindranath would not have been born ever. And even without birth control, there are very few people who produce 13 children. If the parents had stopped at 1 dozen, which was more logical, a more rounded figure, Rabindranath was out of the game. You would have never heard that man and his greatness. But science has become capable within these 10 years to read the whole future of a single semen. Whether it is going to become a scientist, whether it is going to become a poet, or a doctor, or a philosopher, or a mystic, or a dancer, a musician, its potential can be read. Its life pattern in minute detail can be read. Whether it will be a healthy child or a sick child, whether it will be dying after 6 months or after 100 years, to go on doing the old accidental thing and producing children, not knowing whom you are bringing in the world, whether you are giving birth to an Adolf Hitler or a Benito Mussolini or a Joseph Stalin or a Ronald Reagan, you don't have any idea. It is a very blind game. Love should be only a friendship. And if the society wants, and the medical professions prove your wife to be a right vehicle for bringing a child into the world, then from their semen bank they can find the right particle and inject it. You can go on making love, that is a separate affair. There has been the pill, but it was not 100% proof. Because sometimes you are not thinking that you are going to make love and you don't take the pill. And suddenly your lover comes up. And you take the risk. Yes, the chance that it is not always that one becomes pregnant. Now they have come with 2 other things. One is to be taken after you have made love. That is a 100% proof. And the second is that not only the woman is needed, just the man can take a pill. They have come up with a pill for men too. Then the woman need not take anything. your love becomes pure fun, pure joy, without any responsibility and burden. And the woman should be educated, should be given all opportunities to become an independent individual financially and in every other respect, so that she is no more dependent on you. An independent woman and an independent man, just out of friendship, feel good to be with each other. As long as they feel good, they remain together. The moment they feel things are going wrong, there is no need to prolong it, the affair. They can say goodbye with gratitude towards each other. No law is needed, no permission of the government, no social sanction is needed, because who are these people to interfere in your life? Yes, the society can only have a concern about the children, because that is going to be the future society. The society cannot allow you to produce Adolf Hitler. But the society has not done anything to prevent it. And this can be prevented. There is no need of any marriage or calling soulmate or great words, just hot air. Use simple words, you feel friendly towards someone, and you feel joyous to be with the person. As long as you feel joyous, it is valid. The moment trouble arises, you can separate. Marriage has created so much ugliness in the world that you cannot conceive. First, it has given accidents, generations which are not out of understanding, out of scientific approach, but just like animals, under the force, blind force of biology. Otherwise we can have so many beautiful people around, and the world does not consist of beautiful moon and beautiful stars. Its greatest beauty is a beautiful person, physically, mentally, spiritually. The byproducts of marriage have been very strange. All the religions are against prostitutes, but it is a byproduct of marriage. In fact, prostitutes are a safety measure for marriage to remain. Because by nature, neither man is monogamous nor woman is monogamous. Monogamy is a kind of bondage, imprisonment. Why you should be so one-dimensional when life has given you all the opportunities of multidimensionality? No one can say tomorrow you may come across a woman and you may fall in love. The society approves in a subtle way of the prostitute. That is an arrangement for men when they get bored with their wives. And wives also had been accepting down the ages the existence of the prostitute, because they know the prostitute is only a commodity. He is not a competitor. The husband may go there for one day, that's all. She becomes more worried when the husband falls in love with some woman. Then there is competition. With the prostitute, there is no competition. Prostitutes used to come to rich houses to dance. And to give pleasure to the rich people, and it was accepted. The wife was not at all disturbed by it, because it is only a purchased woman. She will be gone tomorrow. It is not going to be a constant problem for her. But the woman was completely confined into monogamy. It is only just now, because of women's liberation movement in Europe and in America, male prostitutes have become available. Now the woman can also have the same opportunity that man has enjoyed for thousands of years. But it is strange and ugly. But because we are going against nature, we have to find some way to satisfy the nature. Polygamy is the nature of man and woman both, because polygamy is multidimensional. It is a freedom. Today I love someone, tomorrow I find someone more suiting to me, then why should I be prevented? Tomorrow I find someone who is more harmonious with me, then why should I be prevented and kept in the bondage? And of course, in this bondage, I will be suffering, and it will be a torture. And I will take the revenge with the poor woman who has done nothing to me. So one thing, the old superstition that love is monogamous has to be dropped. It is not. There is every evidence against it. Secondly, the old superstition that love has to be permanent, only then it is true, is absolutely wrong. If a rose flower is not permanent, do you think it is not real? And if you are so much interested in permanency, then you can have only plastic flowers, not real rose. Those plastic flowers don't die. Because they don't have any life, they are already dead. Love is a very living phenomenon. In fact, life comes to its highest peak in love. Hence, there is every possibility that what has been today a great blessing, tomorrow may not be there. It is a breeze that comes and goes. We have to accept nature as it is. To create something unnatural is going to create perversion. I locked my husband out of the house last week for playing around with other women. Confessed the attractive young housewife. And now he wants me to take him back. What should I do, Father? You must take him back. It is your Christian duty, replied the priest, patting her hand. But, he added, as his grip tightened, how would you like to get even with the best eyes? After all, your priest is also a human being. You have forced him into celibacy. So he has to find ways. 50% monks of a Christian monastery in Athos have declared that they are homosexuals and they are going to remain homosexuals. You will be surprised that the Archbishop of England has been considering a petition from many cardinals that homosexuality should be allowed. It is not against celibacy. A great idea. The idea is that celibacy is only against heterosexual relationships. Homosexual relationship is out of the question. It does not break the vow of celibacy. These poor priests, they are hung up in an unnatural situation. Naturally, they have to find some way from the back door. And they are enforcing unnaturality on other people. I have heard about a party. A very super rich people. Because the more rich you become, the more open you become with your perversion, you can afford. The poor man will be condemned and crushed, will lose his job. But who can raise a finger against the super rich? They have their private theaters in their own home, where they can see blue movies. For them, special movies are created. Absolutely ugly, of sex orgies. There was a party of the very super rich people, and they were playing a game. And the archbishop of the country was also invited. The game was so strange that the archbishop said, I feel that I should retire. I cannot join in the game. He had come a little late, so he had no idea that the game has been already going on. The game was that their lights will be put off and all men will stand naked and the women will find out by touching their genitals who is the person. If they can find the right person, then they have the right to have the night with the person. The archbishop said that this goes against my religious ideology and I cannot participate. But the people laughed. They said, don't be a hypocrite. The game has been going on and your name has been proposed 3 times. All the women seem to know you perfectly well. So don't feel sad. All these uglinesses are byproducts. Two little old ladies were chatting over the backyard fence. The first one boasted, I went out with old man Cain last night and I had to slap him twice. To stop him? Asked the friend. No, she giggled. To start him up. He must be too old. Maybe falling asleep. She had to slap him so he comes to his senses what he is doing. If you look at the back door, it is a very hilarious situation. Marriage has proved ugly because it has perverted people into homosexuality, into sodomy, into all kinds of perversions, into pornography. It has given them the opportunity to make women slaves. Half of the population of the world has been deprived from all kinds of spiritual growth. Women ask again and again that why they are not women as great as Gautam Buddha or Jesus or Zarathustra or Lao Tzu. Man has not allowed women even to be educated. He has not allowed women to have any financial independence. He has not allowed the woman a free movement in society. At the most, she can go to the church. The only man available to her is the priest. How the woman can become a Gautam Buddha? Gautam Buddhas don't grow on trees, neither they drop from the sky suddenly. They need roots in the earth and they need nourishment to grow. The woman in the past particularly has been continuously kept pregnant. She has been used like a factory for reproduction. And it was a biological necessity because out of 10 children, 9 were dying. And only one was surviving. So if you needed 2 children, the wife has to be continuously pregnant. There was no time for her to be a Gautam Buddha. She was not even accepted equal to men. And marriage has created the family, the unit of the society, the unit of the nation. Unless family disappears, nations cannot disappear. And without the disappearance of nations, wars will continue. Man will continue to butcher other men. To me, marriage is one of the things that needs to be immediately abolished. With the marriage being abolished, prostitution will disappear. And everybody is miserable. Husbands are miserable, wives are miserable. I have been staying in thousands of families. Everybody is miserable. And because I have been loved by so many people, the husband could open his heart, the wife could open her heart. Both are beautiful people. But together, they are continuously at war. Every house has become a war field. And children are growing in this poisonous atmosphere. They will learn the same techniques and strategies, and they will repeat them. That's how every generation goes on giving its diseases to the new generation. Generations change, diseases have become permanent. Now we have to drop the diseases so that the future humanity can be free from all this ugliness. Just don't give a new name. Change from the very foundation. Three young men arrived at the pearly gate together, and Saint Peter asked, "How did three healthy men like you die so soon?" "Well," said the first, "it happened like this. I came home from work early one day and found my wife stark naked in bed. The bed covers all a mess. I saw her glance at the open window, and so I looked out and saw a man running across the front yard. I raced into the kitchen, picked up the fridge, carried it back to the bedroom, and hurled it out of the window at the running man. But unfortunately, the effort was too much for me, and I died." "What about you?" Saint Peter said to the second man. "Well," he replied, "I don't know what the hell happened. I was late for an appointment, so I ran out of my ground floor apartment, and some idiot dropped a fridge on my head, and I died." "And what about you?" Saint Peter to the third man. "Well, Peach," said the man shyly, "it all started when I was in the fridge." This is going on. It is a hilarious situation. Before she left her friend's house, one evening Aunt Emma was warned that a sex maniac was loose in the neighborhood. When she returned to her apartment, she cautiously looked under the bed, in her closet, and behind her curtain. Then Emma switched on the light. "Well," she sighed, "he is not here. Damn it."
Beloved Bhagwan, what is sleep for you? Do you leave your body while it is resting, or does sleep help you to stay in your body?
Prem Sunyo. Asleep or awake, my consciousness is in the same stage. To me, sleep is samadhi. That's how Patanjali explains samadhi. A sleep without dream, a sleep which is not unconscious, which is not like a coma, but simply a light rest for the body. But deep inside, the inner being is fully alert. Just like a candle burning all night in the dark room where no wind comes in, and it remains unwavering, but goes on radiating the light. I don't feel any difference in my sleep or in my awakening. The same light and the same blissfulness and the same silence continues day in, day out. My sleep is not much of a sleep. Just a thin layer of rest for the body. Inside, I'm all awake. You are asking, do you leave your body while it is resting, or does sleep help you to stay in your body? I don't leave my body while I am asleep. And neither sleep helps me to remain in the body. On the contrary, sleep helps my body to continue functioning. my inner being, my subjectivity, is awake all the time. I don't have any dreams. Because I don't have any repression for anything. I am not an ascetic. I am against all repression. I am the most natural man possible. Almost wildly natural. Sleep is also a beautiful experience of tremendous rest. You feel the after effects of rest in the morning when you wake up. It is only inference for you that sleep must have refreshed you, must have taken away all tiredness, must have rejuvenated you. But these are your inferences. To me, these are my eyewitness experiences. While the body is resting, relaxing, gaining back its strength, I am watching it. It is not in the morning that I find my body is relaxed. I find it relaxed simultaneously as it is resting. And there is no need to leave the body. My work is of a totally different kind. I don't want to interfere into anybody's life. Otherwise, it has been done. It can be done. One can leave the body, and while somebody else is asleep, can work upon the person. But it is infringement of somebody's freedom. And I am absolutely against any infringement, even if it is for your good. Because to me, freedom is the ultimate value. I respect you as you are. And because of my respect, I go on telling you that much more is possible. But that does not mean that if you don't change, I will not respect you. That does not mean that if you change, I will respect you more. My respect will remain constant whether you change or not, whether you are with me or against. I respect your humanity and I respect your intelligence. Rather than working in a way in which you will not be conscious, My work is absolutely to confront you consciously. And my experience is this way is the best way and the right way. Coming from the back door in your sleep and changing things, in the first place is a criminal offense, although nobody can. Catch the crime or the criminal, because it is absolutely invisible. You will never know, but the change that will happen to you will always remain something foreign, as if it has been imposed on you, and you feel a certain tension. I can make you more loving by coming to you in your sleep, and you will become more loving, but your love will have a certain tension. It will not be relaxed, because you have not really changed. It has not come from your own understanding. It has to come consciously from your own understanding. So my work has a very different approach. I go on talking to you, making every effort that you listen and you understand. And if something comes out of that, it is your own. And what is your own is only a real treasure. Heidi Goldberg was down on his luck, so he went to the local synagogue and approached the rabbi. "All I need is $50 to get me out of debt," sobbed Heidi. "I keep praying to God, but He does not answer my prayer." "Don't lose faith," said the rabbi. "You must keep praying." After Haimi left, the rabbi began to feel sorry for him. "I don't make much money," he thought, "but that poor man needs help. Perhaps I will give him $25 out of my own pocket." The next day the rabbi went to Jaime's house and handed him an envelope with $25 inside and said, "Here, Jaime, God has sent this for you." After saying goodbye to the rabbi, Jaime closed the door, looked inside the envelope, and bowed his head. "But next time you send money," he said to God, "please send it directly to me. That bastard rabbi kept half of it." things should be done strictly with your understanding, otherwise there is going to be a mess, a conflict. I can give you some change, but it will not have roots in you. It will be something polished just on the top. Deep inside you will be still carrying your old garbage. A drunk walked into an open elevator shaft and fell 24 stories straight down. Shakily he stood up, brushed himself off, carefully adjusted his hat, and shouted, "Damn it, I said up." In your unconsciousness, in your sleep, I don't want to disturb you. My approach is purely of individual respect and respect for your consciousness. And I have immense trust in my love and in my respect towards your consciousness, that it will change you, and that change will be authentic. Total, irreversible. Okay,